Okay, today's daf is Vavbasa daf Kuf Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Zecher Nishmas Mira Bas Zucher Sussman, the mother of Mindy Orlinsky, by Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, and we thank them very much for the sponsorship. The Neshama should continue to have an aliyah from the Zuchus of our learning. It is also sponsored anonymously, the Zuchus Refuah Shleima, for Moshe Yehuda ben Yehudis. He should have a Refuah Shleima, and we thank the sponsor very much. We are holding on daf Kuf Amid Beis at the Mishnah. We're going to shift a little bit in terms of our discussion now, and we're going to discuss the setting up of kvaros and exactly how people used to be buried in the times of Chazal, and how they would space out the different burial plots and arrange it based on the families. So the Mishnah is going to discuss if you either buy a space for a kever or you're hired to make a kever, what exactly does that entail? How much space do you need to set aside? How many different kvarim have to be made within that space? What should the dimensions of the space be? How should the kvarim be arranged? All of that is going to be discussed by the Mishnah. And we're going to be assuming that there's this system of a chatzer that leads into a ma'ara, and the ma'ara has kuchin, has built into the walls of the ma'ara different graves that you put the various mesim into. So that's the system that we're assuming, that each chatzer has a ma'ara, and each ma'ara has multiple graves that come off of that ma'ara. The Gemara is then going to discuss at one point in the Mishnah, we're going to say that you have, in addition to when you walk into the ma'ara, to having kvarim on the right and on the left and in front of you, there are additional two on the side that you actually walk in. So the Gemara is going to discuss, well, where exactly do those go? Meaning, does it go under where you had walked in? Does it go angled off to the side? Well, how exactly do those fit? So that's really the majority of the Gemara in today's daf, is going to be four different shitos about exactly how that gets set up. So in this context, we're going to discuss, can you bury people standing up? Can you bury people in a way that they're touching each other? Can you? How much space do you need in between? So this is going to be the topics of today's daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah on daf Kuf Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Hamocher Makom L'Chaveiro Lasos L'Kever. If a person sells a space for his friend to make a kever in that space, or someone is hired by somebody else in order to create a kever, in order to make a kever. So how much space do you have to sell? How much do you have to make? What do you have to develop in order to make the kever? Osa tocha shel ma'ara dalet amos al sheish. The inside of the ma'ara should be hollowed out 4 amos by 6 amos. Uposeach letocha shmona kuchin. In that 4 amma by 6 amma square, you should be able to fit 8 kuchin, which means you should be able to fit 8 bodies in the walls of that 4 amma by 8 amma square. How do you fit 8 bodies? Shalosh mikan v'shalosh mikan u'shnayim mikenegdan. If you walk into the ma'ara, you'll be able to fit 3 bodies on your right side, 3 bodies on your left side, and 2 bodies in the wall that's directly across from you. V'kochin arba arba amos, and each of those kuchin, each of those slots where you fit a body is 4 amos long. V'roman sheva, and 7 tfachim high. V'rachvan shisha, and 6 tfachim wide. And in that way, you can fit a body in that koch. Rabbi Shimon Omer, so that's the Tanakama. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, here's what you do. Oset tocha shel ma'ara, sheish amos al shmona. The inside of the ma'ara, where all the kuchin are going to be set up, should be an area that is 6 amos by 8 amos, so a significantly larger area. Not, like the Tanakhama said, 4 amos by 6 amos, 6 amos by 8 amos is twice the size of that. It should be 6 amos by 8 amos. Uposeach letocha shlosha asar koch. So now you don't only have room for 8 bodies, you're going to have room for 13 different kochin, for 13 different bodies to fit in there. How so? Arba mikan ve'arba mikan. You have 4 on your right side, 4 on your left side when you walk in. four on each side, and ushlosha mikenegdan, and you have three on the wall that faces you when you walk in. So that makes 11. 4 plus 4 plus 3. So, but we said there are going to be 13. So the echad miyamina pesach, the echad mina small. The pesach is a little bit larger. The pesach is 6 amos wide. So now you can not only fit walking in the whole pesach, but you have one additional kever, one additional koch on your right side when you walk in, and one on your left side when you walk in addition to the four that are along the walls. Va'osa chatzra al pi ha'ma'ara sheish al sheish kimlo hamita v'kovreha. The chatzer that enters into the ma'ara, the chatzer that leads into the various ma'aros, should be 6 amos by 6 amos, and that will provide ample space for the aron and the people who are going to bury that aron, 6 amos by 6 amos. Uposeach l'tocha shtei ma'aros, achas mikan v'achas mikan. For each chatzer that you have that opens up into a ma'ara, which in turn has in the walls of the ma'ara the various kochin, each chatzer should have 2 ma'aros. And that is, if you look in the pictures in the Rashbam, the top picture in the Rashbam, there you have a chatzer in the middle that is 6 amos by 6 amos. On the right side, on the left side, you have a ma'ara on each side. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Arba li arba ruchaseha. Rabbi Shimon says, no, why would you only have 2 ma'aros coming off of the chatzer? You could have 4 ma'aros coming off of the chatzer. So you have in all 4 directions. So you might look at the picture, and since it's not 3-dimensional, you say, well, how in the world are you going to get into that chatzer? You're going to have to go through the ma'aros in order to get into the chatzer. Well, the ma'aros were down. You would go, the chatzer was elevated, and then you'd go down into the ma'aros. So they were digging an underground, that's what makes it a ma'ara, that it's underground. So they were digging an underground ma'ara, and you'd have this hollowed out area underground, and that's where in the walls you would stick all of these mesim. So the chatzer is above ground. So you would have in all 4 directions. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hakala fi asela. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, in terms of exact numbers of how many are going to fit, says this is not going back on how many ma'aros you'd have built off of the chatzer. This is going back on the first halacha in terms of how many kuchen are in each ma'ara. You know, it really depends on the nature of the ground that you're digging into, the nature of the walls that you're digging into. If you look at the Rashbam, Hakol lefi asela, akochin kai. This is going back on the kochin. Sheim akarka chazak. If you have very strong ground, very strong land, ein sar chefresh ama ben koch lekoch lekosel. You don't need to leave an ama of space between each of the kochin because the ground is rock solid. Nothing's going to happen. It's not going to cave in. Va'osu yoser miyud gimel kochin. And in that case, you'll be able to fit more than 13 mesim in a 6 ama by 8 ama koch. V'im sela habab yadayim yarchik yoser meyama zemize. And if the ground is very soft ground where it's much more likely to cave in, you're going to need more than 1 ama of space in between each of the kochen to make sure that they don't cave in. But you wouldn't be able to make more than 4 or 5 kochen in such a case in the ma'ara. Umisha makabalasos kever lechavero. You don't have a specific number of kochin that the guy needs to make. We don't say, oh, you were hired to make a kever over here, so you can produce no less than 8 or 13, whatever X number. No, you have to assess the land and see what the land is able to handle. V'nira be'enai, says the Rashbam, dama'aros namikai, that this is also going on the second halach in the Mishnah, which is very mistaver, because we saved this line of Rav Shimon Gamliel till after the second halacha, meaning essentially we had two separate parts of the Mishnah. One part of the Mishnah was, once you have a ma'ara, how many different kochen, how many different people can be buried in a single ma'ara? Then the second part of the Mishnah was, how many ma'aros should you have for a single chatzer? And only after we mention that second part do we bring up Rav Shimon Gamliel that it all depends on the sela. So the Rashbam says, certainly that line of Rav Shimon Gamliel is going on the first part of the Mishnah of how many people you could bury in a single ma'ara. But Rashbam says, Nir Beinai de Ma'aros Namikai. I think it's going on the second part of the Mishnah as well. Da'akol lefi ha'sela yasa ma'aros harbe mikol tzad. V'lashna tosefta mochiach de katani poseach l'tocha shtei ma'aros. Rav Shimon Gamliel dal l'chseh. Rabbi Meaning the it's clear in the Tosefta that this is going on how many ma'aros to make as well will also depend on the nature of the karka. So there are a number of things to point out about this Mishnah right off the bat. First of all, in the Tshuvas HaTashbeit, Chel Gimel Simen Yud Gimel, he's asked the Shaila whether you're allowed to take money for Kvura Sameis. And he says that the mitzvah of Kvura is only a mitzvah on the Krovim Hayorshim. It's their mitzvah. Or for a woman, it's on the Baal, he's Chayiv B'Kvuras Ishto in Tachas Yerushasa. So if Rechokim are being Metapel, so they're allowed to take money for being Metapel, because it's not their requirement. So he says someone who needs to be able to make money on this is allowed to take schar kepal batel or whatever tanai he makes with the family, and he says that would be true even if chafira, even if the digging of the kever was part of the mitzvah of kvura, because it's like taking schar for kiddush mechatos or azas mechatos. But he says especially since it's not even true, it's not even part of the mitzvah of kvura. The mitzvah of kvura is actually putting the body into the grave. The chafira, the digging ahead of time to dig out the grave, is a hechsher mitzvah. And he says, and that's why a person in his lifetime is already allowed to dig out a grave. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perchav Beis, Malacha po, Milacha po, Ki chasavti lecha po kever, and in Bereishis, Bekivri asher karisi li. So you see that you're allowed to dig a grave while you're alive, and it's muchach, he says, in our mission that way. You're mocher kever lechavero, that someone is supposed to be setting up the grave already, even while they're still alive. That can't be the mitzvah of kvura, because you don't have a mitzvah of kvura on yourself. That's purely just a hechsher mitzvah. That's why our minug, when we go to the cemetery, we try to have Jews involved in the actual kvura. So once they lower the urn into the ground, we try to have Jewish people, instead of the cemetery workers or instead of the machine, do the actual kvura. But the digging out the grave in the first place, that's always done by the cemetery workers. That's always done by the using whatever equipment they have to dig out the grave, because that's not the mitzvah itself. That's only a hechsher mitzvah. So that is point number one to make over here. Another important point over here: the Rashbam writes in the bottom Rashbam on Kufam Beis, Vakochin Arba Amos Archan. So this is a big Shas topic. Why is it that you would need 4 amos of length in order to fit a dead body in an aron? Why is it that you need 4 amos of length? So says Rashbam, Shameis archo shalosh amos. A dead body is a typical dead body. The length of the body is 3 amos, because that's the size of a human being. Ubishvil aron shumunach bo tzarech ama revius. Why do you need that 4th ama? Because you don't just have the mace, you also have the aron that he is placed in. So that aron is the 4th ama that's necessary. The Ritva writes that the extra ama is because of the aron, and also that the mace should have a little bit of space, that it shouldn't be just so tightly packed. So they would have the 4th amma. If you look at Tosos, in the top Tosos, in Daf Kuf Amibes, Vakuch and Archon Dalid, Peter Shabbat Shmuel, Shameis Gil Malamus, Peshvil Aron, Tzorach Amma Revius, Ve'ein Nira. Tosos says, I don't think that's correct. The Perak HaMatzniya, Mashma Behedya, Da'ad Kseifav Shel Adam, Gimel Amos. Now this is where it gets interesting. There's a major machlokas Rishonim throughout Shas. How tall do we assume a person is? Is a person 3 amos tall, or is a person 3 amos tall until his shoulders, but he's really 4 amos tall? What do we assume is the average size of the person? Which is really a machlokas about what do we assume is the size of an amma. I mean, it's not a machlokas in Metzius, how tall people are. We know roughly how tall people are. Question is, how big is an amma? But the Tosus assumes that a person is way more than 3 amos. What are the rayas that a person is way more than 3 amos? So Tosus brings an interesting raya where we talk about the size of the aron in the Mishkan that the Aron was test, the Kaporis, the Aron was 9 Tefachim tall, the Kaporis on top of it was an additional Tefach, so it's 10 Tefachim, and if you wanted to carry something, Ugmiritos is called Tuna Demidli Bimotos, anything you're going to carry with poles, Tilsimila Elu Tre Tilsimila Tachas. The best way to position the poles would be 2/3 of the way up the thing that you're carrying. Vishtakach de la Malame Asara Havakai Dimiksefa Vadlamata Yudches Tfachim. That from the shoulders of the people that were carrying it to the ground was 18 Tfachim, Utre Tilsi Shisha Tfachim. 2/3 of the Arod that hung down is 6 Tfachim, Ushneshlishim Ishtakach de la Malame. So it was more than it was 11 1/3 above the ground. So he does the math and he essentially says it has to be that we're assuming that the shoulders of the person are 3 amos off the ground, are 18 tfachim off the ground, in order to make the cheshbon correct in terms of the nosei aron. There are much less complicated cheshbonos where you could say that the shoulders of a person are 3 amos off the ground. For example, at the very beginning of this Masechta, we discussed Hezek Re'iyah and what you need to do in order to prevent Hezek Re'iyah. How do you stop someone from looking into your property? So you build a fence. How tall does the fence have to be? So the Mishnah was very clear. Dalad Amos. Well, if a person is only 3 Amos tall, why do I need a 4 Amos fence to prevent him from looking over the fence and into my property? If he's only 3 Amos tall, so you would think a fence that goes to the top of his head, 3 Amos would be enough. Why is it necessary to have 4 Amos fence? So that's what the Baal Yatel say, because a person is more than 3 Amos tall. To his shoulder, he's 3 Amos tall. But when you count his head in, he's 4 Amos tall. So that's a raya that that a person is, in fact, 4 Amos tall. The Raya, perhaps in the other direction, but Tosfos says a way to deal with it is that the size of a mikveh, we assume that the minimum shear of a mikveh is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos. Why? Because that's the size of a person. 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos. So that's how much water, that's the memsa'a of water. If you wanted to know how much is memsa'a of water, take a box that's 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos, fill it up, that's memsa'a, because it's got a mikveh, has to be able to fit a person. So doesn't that imply that a person is only 3 amos tall? So the Rashbam would say, yeah, that's exactly right, a person is 3 amos tall. Tosfos would say, no, when a person goes into the water, so there's water displacement, the level of the water rises, and will therefore go above his head, even though the person is 4 amos tall. The amount of water that you need without anybody in there is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 almost tall, but once the person goes in, it's then going to be it's then going to be 4 amos tall, 4 amos high when the water rises. So that's a discussion that you have throughout Shas, exactly what the average size of a person is. So do we assume 3 amos or 4 amos? Now, I don't know why you would need, you know, the aron that we're talking about over here, you need a whole amma for the aron. How much bigger is the aron than the person? The walls of these aron, we're not talking about like these giant mahogany, you know, aronos. We bury in, you know, pine box. I mean, the aron is very, very thin. Why would you need a full extra amma? So Pashto say you need the extra amma because of the, you don't like stuff the mace in where his toes touch one side of the box and his head touches the other side of the box. There's a little bit of space in between the end of his body and the box itself. Plus you have the box itself. Plus, some people are probably a little taller, some people are a little shorter. So if the average person is 3 amos tall, you want to build kuchen that are large enough to accommodate someone who's taller than the average person. So the Rashbam saying that we would make an extra amma of space for the aron probably doesn't just mean the aron. It means to accommodate the fact that the guy is in an aron, and therefore you need more than just the actual space of the aron, but the space between the ends of his body and the ends of the aron, as well as a accommodating for the fact that some people are going to be a few inches taller, so you would want to accommodate for that as well. So that is one issue with regard to the dimensions of the koch. Another issue that comes up over here with regard to the dimensions of the koch is the height of the koch. We had said that the height of the koch, Roman Shiva, it's 7 tefachim high. Why do you need 7 tefachim high? Says the Rashbam, lahachnis ha'aron berevach. So that you can easily slide the aron right in. V'gam lios avir tefach, bein ha'karka la'aron, shlolatami ha'ovrim, derech ha'ma'ara. And also, says the Rashbam, you want a tefach of airspace on top of the aron, where the person is buried, so that people who walk above ground in that area will not become tame, because the halacha is, when it comes to tumas ohel, is that if you have empty space of one tefach above the body, that creates its own ohel and that stops the tumah. So if people are above ground and they're walking above ground, after there's already one tefach of airspace, the people above ground will not become tame, certainly not at least on a doraisa level. So the Rashbam says that's what that extra tefach is. It's not that the dead body is 6 tefachim tall. It's not 7 tefachim tall. You just want to make sure that you have the tefach between the top of the koch and the aron. If you look at Tosos, however, Tosos Roman Shiva, Tosos writes, Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel kedei sheyeh poseach tefach ba'aron shlo teyatuma bokas ve'olam tamei ha'over al gabav. Shabbat Perak Misha Meso, and he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Medalgina Yinu al Gabe Aronos. The Gemara says that they used to jump over Aronos. Well, why were they jumping over Aronos? So the Gemara says they used to do it Likros Malche Yisrael, in order to go see a king, that it was such a zechus to be able to see a king and to be able to see the kavod that given to a king. And the Gemara says, Lo Likros Malche Yisrael B'vad Amru, Ela Afilu Likros Malche Yumos Ha'olam, even to see a non-Jewish king, because in Yizkeh, if we're Zocha, we're going to be able to be Mavchin, we're going to be able to distinguish between the Kavod shown, a Jewish king and a non-Jewish king, when it be Mosa Mashiach. So it's worthwhile to see the Kavod that is shown to a non-Jewish king, because then you're going to be able to, that's why I have a bracha, you say, Shechalak Mikvodo Lebasa V'dam, or Shenasa Mikvodo Lebasa, you see a non-Jewish king, because you're going to realize that with all the Kavod that's shown to them right now, ultimately you're going to be able to distinguish between that Kavod and the cover that is going to be shown to a Jewish king when Mashiach comes. So that was so important that they would even jump over Aronos. Rav Shlomo Tversky, Zichron Levracha, told me that when he was learning in the Telzer Yeshiva in the 1950s or whenever it was that he was in Telz, and the Queen of England, they did a coronation for the new Queen of England, that they brought a television into the Telzer Yeshiva so that everyone could watch it, that they were trying to be Mekayim this din, that everyone should see the Malchei Umas Ha'olam, because if you see the Malchei Umas Ha'olam, you see all the pomp and circumstance, you'll be able to appreciate how much more so how the covenant is going to be for the Melech Yisrael. So this is, so I asked him, did you say the bracha? He said, we all said the bracha. He said, B'Shem Malchus, on the television, you said the bracha? He said, I don't remember if it was B'Shem Malchus, I just remember that they brought a TV into Telz. I mean, that was a pretty significant event. Okay, so they would jump over these aronos, and yesh ben poseach tefach, umfarish hasam time mishum derover aronos yesh ben poseach tefach. And the Gemara there explains, but wait a second, Kohanim jumping over aronos, how could they be mitame themselves? Mido Raisa, okay, it's a nice zechus to see the king, but you're being mitame yourselves. How are you allowed to do that? So you know, rov aronos is poseach tefach. So chances are there's no tumah anyway, because most of the time you have a tefach between the body and the top of the aron, and that closes off any tumah mido Raisa. But Tosos points out, this only helps with regard to Tuma da'oraisa. Avol midrabanan miyatame ha'over alehen. On a drabanan level, anyone who passes over them is anyway going to be tame. Kedah amr hasam de'gazra alehen v'lo etira lechas l'makam mitzvah l'kros malachim. It's only because it was l'tzarech mitzvah to go greet a king that we allowed the violation of the Tuma midrabanan. But it's not that you're in the clear entirely. You're not in the clear entirely. You still have the Tumah Midrabanan to contend with. It's just that you don't have to worry about the Tumah Midrabanan when one is headed to do a mitzvah. So that was the Medalgin Ayinu Al Gabei Aronus, but that's the discussion over here about the purpose of that seventh tefach is, whether that seventh tefach saves from the tumah. The Ritva brings a raya to the Shitas Rashbam. He says it's certainly a mace only requires shisha tefachim, meaning the body itself doesn't require more than six tefachim, because the Mishnah says in Masecha Sukkah, how large is a sukkah ketana? How large does a sukkah have to be? Minimum size of a sukkah? Shisha tefachim is shiva tefachim by shiva tefachim. And the Yerushalmi says, shisha tefachim for the person's guf, for the person's body, and one tefach l'shulchano, that you need for his table. So you see that a person's body is only six tefachim. So obviously, you have an extra tefach over here. So that tefach that you have in that kuch is to create that sense of an ohel that will stop the tumah at least on a d'oraisa level. So that is the another issue over here. Just one final issue for now, and that is that this idea of Shmona Kuchen, the Marsha writes that why is it that the average Ma'ara we set up with eight Kuchen? So the Marsha says in Maseches Sota, in the Chidush HaGadlus in Sota, Daf Yud Gimel, that he says, Atam Bazeh, Nire Kever Echad Atzmo, you need one Kever for yourself, and seven more for the Zion Krovim that a Kohen is Metamilan, meaning the seven close relatives. So that's why it's the number eight, which L'chora is symbolic, meaning that it's not literally that a person has Zion Krovim, because hopefully a person is not burying all of his Zion Krovim, right? We hope that a person never has to have the experience of burying a son and a daughter. And in addition to that, a person has very often more than one son, one daughter. A person has very often more than one brother, one sister. So probably it's symbolic. That's symbolic of the obligation to bury one's relatives. One should make a ma'ara with eight kvarim. But it's not about the actually burying Zayin Krovim. Okay, says the Gemara now. Hani trei lehecha shadilu. So we said that when you go into the ma'ara, you have however many kuchen on your right, on your left, in front of you. But then we added, if we assume that that the pesach to the ma'ara is actually six amos wide, so we added another two on the side that you're walking into the ma'ara. So where exactly did they put those two extra kuchen? Ilav ra'i, if they're facing out, meaning they're facing out toward the chatzer, toward the chatzer that you walk into the ma'ara from, well, that's going to be hard. Hakamitad shiluhu. Then, as you're walking in the chatzer, you're going to be walking on top of those kvarim. We don't want people walking on top of the kvarim. Well, why not? What's so terrible about walking on top of the kvarim? So, if you look at Rashbam, Hakamitshi biragle nosei amita v'kovreha shemoshivim sham amita, that the people are going to be coming to bury somebody, and they're going to be walking right over those kvarim. Umishtein sham harbe. And they're going to be waiting there for a while, meaning it takes, you do the seven mamados, it takes some time till you get a kvura done there. People, you're standing there for a while. The lo dami ledrisas nosei amita shedorsen al gabe ama'oros hamukafos mikol tzad kshemavinas amita l'chatzer tasem b'shvil hiluch l'fishah lo kapit Reb Shimon. Meaning if you look at, let's say, the bottom picture in the Rashbam, where you have the chatzer in the middle and the four ma'oros on each side. So obviously, in order to get to the chatzer, you're going to be walking over the ma'aros on each side. Yeah, I understand that, but that will be a minute. You know, you'll walk over it for a minute, and it won't be the end of the world. And then you'll stand in the chatzer for a while. But if each ma'ara has two kvarim that actually stick into the ground underneath the chatzer, then while you're standing in the chatzer, you're just standing there on top of graves. And that's not appropriate. So the Rashbam says it's perfectly appropriate and perfectly fine to walk over a kever for a moment when you're trying to get somewhere, but to actually stand there on top of the kever, that's what the Gemara is bothered by. That people are trampling all over the kever. The Rama writes in Yoredeh Simchin Samach Dalid that Yesh Osrin to sit on the matseva, to use a tombstone as a chair, to sit down on it. He says, Yesh Cholkim Umatirim. The two deos, or deos and Rishonim, that are quoted by the tour, Rabbeinu Yeshaya says that it's Aser, because it's something that's Mechuber Lekever. According to the Rush, it's not considered part of the Kever, it's just a tziun that they give as a marker, but it's not considered actually part of the Kever. So in Pisrei Tshuva, he quotes from the Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu, two reasons to Aser sitting on the tombstone. Number one, he says, the Isra Hanna'a, from the mace. Number two, he says, is Bizayin mace. The Chilik between them is, what about the Nafkamina between them, is what about being Holech Al Gabei Kever? There's no Hanna'a, because if there was no Kever there, then it would just be Karka Olam that you're walking on. You're not getting any Hanna'a from the fact that there's a Kever there. Sitting on a tombstone, you're getting Hanna'a from the fact that there's a tombstone there, otherwise it would just be flat ground. But walking on top of a Kever, you're not getting any Hanna'a from it, but l'chora it's bizayon ames. So he says, for a mitzvah, you're allowed to go on top of a kever, but to sit on a kever where there is hana'a, had it not been a kever, you certainly wouldn't have had any place to sit. That would be aser, even b'makom mitzvah. The Taz writes in Sivkat Nalv over there that the Rashbam in our sugya is very clear that the nosei amita are allowed to walk on top of the kever when they are bringing the mita to the chatzer, because it's only a hiluch l'fi sha'a. So says the Taz, you see that l'fi sha'a, there is no iser to step on the kever. A lot of times you're in a cemetery and they're doing the kvura, so the way they set up the graves is that they're pretty close to each other. So it's going to be very hard to do a kvura, and to, especially if there's a significant number of people there, for people not to at any point be stepping on a kever. So you try not to stand around standing on top of a kever. But if the only way to access the grave is to step on a kever, it's the only way to do the kvura, so it's not the end of the world. You're allowed to step on a kever. Sometimes people are so nervous about how terrible it is. Step on a kever. It's not so terrible, for the Rashbam says, l'fi sha'a, to step on a kever. A person shouldn't just hang out there standing on top of a kever, because that would be considered a terrible bizayon to do something like that. So first of all, you're going to be trampling all over the kever if these two kochin are facing toward the chatzer and are therefore under the ground of the chatzer. V'su hatznan chatzer kever omid b'tocho tahar. Plus, it can't be that these two kvarim stick out under the ground of the chatzer of the kever, because the chatzer kever, the Mishnah says, someone is tahar if he stands in the chatzer kever. If you look at Tosos over here, v'su hatznan chatzer kever om b'toch tahar v'im tamar l'Rabbi Shimon hechi azil kivin sheish dal maros l'dal ruchos. Yeah, while you're standing in the chatzer kever, but unless how did you get there? The only way to get into the chatzer kever, if you have ma'aros on all four sides of the kever, the only way to get in is going over one of those ma'aros. The chitema ba'amash ben koch l'koch. Maybe you squeeze right in that one ama between each of the kochin. Ham parakum meshuach melchama to mace tofes arba amos heichud l'masaimim mechitzos. Then no, a mace is tofes the dalet amos around him. So there is no squeezing in the one ama between each koch. V'dafka b'chatzur the masaimim mechitzos ain't a tofes. It's only if you have clear mechitzos that mark off the end of the kever that it wouldn't be tofes. Upirsha kuntros da. He goes in a box. That the way that the guy could get into the chatzer is the way the chabadniks, the kohanim chabadniks, go to the ayel. That they have some of them, at least, that they'll go in a box. That's chutzis b'fnei atuma, and that way they'll stop the tuma. So you can go in that way in a box. Why don't we just say that maybe the ma'ar is not filled yet? That you're getting into the there are four ma'aros on each side, so maybe you only filled in one or two of them so far. So I'm not sure why we don't say that. I mean, is there such a din that once something has been designated as a place for kavura, even if no one is buried there, that some sort of din to rabbanon like that? I'm not sure. I have to look it up. Someone just asked me that shaila, that they were going to bury a relative who was a kayin, and it was at the edge of a cemetery. But in order to see where they were, in order to get near the place where the kavura was happening, there was a large area of just grass where no kvarim existed yet, but there will one day be kvarim there. So is there a problem because it was designated as a makom lekvura? I don't know. Got to look it up. But so the Gemara says it can't be that these two kvarim are under the ground of the chatzer. So what exactly is happening? Where are these two kvarim? Some Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, davalu kemin nagar, that they make it like a standing upright. That they dig six, they dig three or four amos rather deep into the ground, and that's, and they put the mesim standing up as opposed to protruding out under the chatzer. So, in fact, the Gemara is that v'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan kvuras chamorim hizu. That's called the kvuras chamorim, to bury people standing up. We don't do that. We don't bury people standing up. If you look at Tosus over here in Amun Beis, davalu kaminagar v'adetam b'sof nazir motzi meis mushkav kedarchav v'amar Gemara mushkav prat liyoshev. The Rabbi Yosef v'chanin dachad davka yoshev memait v'lo omed. That it says as opposed to yoshev, not as opposed to an omed. And we do find that Amoraim in different places were buried in this way, standing up, this kvuras chamorin that we refer to. Rav Huna Maseches Moed Katan Daf Chafei, it says that Rav Chaga was osik in the kvura of Rav Huna, and he wanted to bring him into the ma'ara of Rabbi Chia, where the Rabbi Chia's children were buried, Yehuda and Chizkia. Yehuda on the right side of his father, Chizkia on the left side of his father. When Rabbi Chaga entered, Yehuda said to Chizkia, that you should get up and make space for the kvura of Rabbi Chia, because it's not derech eretz that Rav Huna would be mibachutz. So Chizkia heard what Yehuda said, and he started to stand up. While he was standing up, an amud shel esh got up with him, and when Rav Chaga saw this, he got very terrified, and in order that he shouldn't get hurt by that, he stood up the aron of Rav Huna keneged esh, and he left the ma'ara. So he stood up the aron of Rav Huna with pachad, and in one of the Rishonim over there it says, and adayom Rav Huna's aron is standing up. That is kilu, he was buried standing up. Others say no, that's not what happened. Ultimately, he was down in the quote from in the Panini Alacha section of Yodim Sifta from the Shara Gilgulim of Chaim Vital that Rameir is kavur mu'umad, that Rameir is buried standing up. I don't know what all this means. Like, why would you do that? It's kavuras chamorim. So okay, but the kavuras chamorim, so the Gemara says it can't be that that's where they would set it up lechadchila. So as Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan da'avaduhu bekeren zavis. The way they would do it is they would make it the way they would do these two kvarim that are right on the side of the entrance to the ma'ara is off to the corners of the ma'ara, not mamish on the wall of the entrance, but off to the corners. Va'nagi kuchin adadi. But then you're going to have a problem because the kuchin from one ma'ara are going to overlap with the kuchin of the other ma'ara. And one thing about a kever is you have to try to make sure that each person has their own kever, that there should be a separation of the kvaros. They can't have the kuchin touching each other. So I'm Ravashi bima'amik. No, one of them is lower down, the other one's higher up. You're ma'amik, you make one deeper than the other one. Dilote ma'achi, because otherwise, arba ma'aros, the Rabbi Shimon, hechi avadahu. Anyway, think about it. How could Rabbi Shimon have four ma'aros on four different sides, each of them with kuchen coming out all over the place? There's going to be overlap. I mean, if you look at the bottom picture in the Rashbam over here on this page, you see the middle picture, rather, you have a chatzer, and then you have a ma'ara on the right and a ma'ara on top of it. So just the very first koch and the wall of each ma'ara is going to overlap. So akanagi kuchela dadi, aren't they touching each other? Ela b'mamik. No, they're obviously not, because one is deeper than the other. So akanami b'mamik, the ones that are off angled are also, one is deeper than the other. Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehoshua Amar arba ma'aros Rav Shimon davalu ki charusa. He says no. You look at the bottom picture in the Rashbam over here, that when they according to Rabbi Shimon, that there are four ma'aros on one on each side of the chatzer. The reason there was no overlap was not because some some were deeper than the other, but because they weren't built out straight, exactly perpendicular to the walls, rather they were built out at an angle. So since they're built out at an angle, that's why they're not overlapping each other at all. But the Gemara says that is ridiculous. That can't be. That the way they fit the four kvaros on the four kochin on each side wall is by angling all of them. Because michti kol amsa brivua amsa v'treichum shibalachsona. You have to figure out whenever you're angling something what that does in terms of the geometry. So any amma that you have in a straight line is going to be 1.4 amos at an angle. So kama havilahu chad. So that leaves you with 11 and a fifth amos to play with over here. Kuchen kamahavu. How many kuchen are there going to be along this angular, along this angle of 11 and a fifth amos? You need to fit tmanya, tmanya. You need to fit eight kochin in that area. How are you going to fit 8 kuchen in 11.2 amos? So it must be that that's incorrect. So again, we're still stuck. What about these 2 kochen that you have right when you walk in? So Gemara says a final answer. They're very, very tiny kvarim. They're for nephilim. They're for fetuses. So that's why they're not going to protrude under the chatzar too much, because they're such tiny little kvarim that are designated for nephilim, where unfortunately in those days, health what it was, they had many, many more nephilim than we have nowadays. Okay, Ben Shom, we'll pick up with Tanan Hassan tomorrow.